It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hi, my name is Mike.
Hello, I am Dennis.
And James here.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience about meeting people where they are, even if you can't see them because they're imaginary. In this episode 216 of the Defective Characters Podcast, let's go.
Woohoo!
Added that second part in, full disclosure, made it up. It's actually not going to be in the headline of what the topic is if you're searching for this episode, which is one that Dennis came up with. I can't believe it, Dennis.
Wait, what part did you make up?
Even if they're imaginary.
Oh. Maybe it'll be catchy and it'll get us more views if you put it in.
I'm curious nowadays how many kids still have an imaginary friend.
I don't know. Did y'all ever have imaginary friends when you were older or younger?
When I'm older, I'll tell you later. I never did. I never had an imaginary friend. I had one or two really close friends until I was in like sixth grade. Then I had a bunch of friends and still some closer ones. But like, I think there are more people. I didn't go to it, but a reunion. And I think people think that I was friends with them, that I considered almost enemies in school. Like, I couldn't stand them. And they were like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. Can't wait to catch up, friend. And I'm like, friend? I wasn't your friend. So I didn't have imaginary friends. If I did, I know that I probably would have felt the exact same way about them.
Oh, my God.
Did you?
No, I didn't. Not at all. I thought the concept was weird, but I had like three siblings, so there wasn't really a lot of room to like have like an imaginary friend. I don't know. I think I have more of an imaginary friend now whenever I'm like alone talking to God or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't, does that count?
I don't think it's the same thing.
What do you think, James?
About imaginary friends?
Yes.
Yeah, did you have
one? God an imaginary friend?
He's not imaginary to me. I didn't have one growing up. But, you know, being spiritually awake, I feel he's not imaginary. That he's a part of me and he's real. And he helps me throughout the day.
Yeah. It's like... you know, the Fungo Pops. Those could be imaginary friends if you play with them, right?
Well, I mean, I definitely had stuffed animals that I, like, were my friends that I played with.
Yeah.
But, like, those aren't like, the concept of imaginary friend. Those are toys that you personalize, you know?
It sounds like you're splitting hairs, but I'm not going to be Judge Judy today. That's for sure. So why don't we get started with you, Dennis? How was everything last week since you came up with today's topic?
It's been pretty good. I've been busy working on the same video like all week long. It's taken me a lot longer than I expected. And I've even started the next video without finishing this video. So hopefully I can finish it today. But I've been busy at that. I finally saw Spider-Man Far From Home, which came on Disney Plus, so I was excited about that. This is like the only Spider-Man MCU one that I hadn't seen yet.
Was that the one? That wasn't the one that we saw together.
No, that was No Way Home. This one was the second one. There's Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home. And this one was the middle one, The Far Way Home, with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is the same. Man, I was going to say, they made another one, didn't we just see, like a year and a half, 2 years ago? Didn't we just see? So that would be why. So this is one that came out like 4 years ago, probably.
Yeah, something like that, sure.
Okay.
I don't know when it came out, but yeah.
So it was good. You say it's worth the time to watch it at home?
Well, yeah, I think all of the MCUs are worth watching. Out of the three Spider-Mans that we just mentioned, I think this is the weakest one, but it's still a great movie. I just enjoyed Homecoming and Far From Home a little bit better, because like Homecoming had Michael Keaton in it, so that wins automatically. And then Far From Home is the one that had all the audience pleasing by bringing Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield back. So that's like awesome on its own.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Other than that, my dad came back from Australia.
Peaches!
And my dog Peaches is doing well.
Dare you talk about your dad like that.
Yeah, it's weird that you just kind of brought up your dog out of the blue. It's fun.
Whatever.
So, well, it's good Peaches back from Australia. Okay. How's everything, James?
Everything's good with James, it's true. Eating lots of cheese all the time, I shoo. Every time I look around, I see tiny little friends and happy with me.
Yeah.
Are you in a hotel? Is that what I heard?
So
that's his new theme song.
I did my morning gym. Joey did not answer, so I just went alone. I did leg day, and then I went to CrossFit. And it was leg day in CrossFit. I was like, great. So I'm going to be so sore for my trip tomorrow. I can feel it already. Yesterday I was very just kind of like, probably not even close to how Dennis gets, but I was feeling irritated and anxious for no good reason. I went to work, and I was only working the morning shift, and I was trying to get out of there, and then the last half an hour, I got five tables. I was like, ugh. It was slow all day, and then I get five tables at the end. And then three out of the five were just like, my steak is too salty. This is over. Like, they were just, everything was wrong. So I had to send the manager out. And then, because that took so long, it was Tuesday nights, all the regulars. So my bar fills up with the senior center, basically. It's just a bunch of old folks, and they always get the same thing, and I always bartend. So as soon as they see me, they're like, James, hi. And so, of course, I get their drinks, even though the other bartender's there. I'm like, I'm taking off. They're like, what do you mean? You're not staying? I'm just like, I was just getting annoyed. And when I got home, my wife could sense it. And then, you know, instead of saying nothing, she's like, oh, well, maybe if you do more Bible plans, or maybe if you meditate more. I'm just like, no, hush. I do not, I don't need a solution for this. Like, we had switched roles, because usually she's irritated and I play the husband, and I try to, oh, she's irritated, I need to fix this. So she was doing what I was doing. I was like, is this how I sound? Oh my gosh, I must be irritating to her. But that was just one night. The rest of the night was wonderful. The rest of the week was wonderful. I'm a little sore from working out on Monday. My wife was going to take me to the airport, pick me up and drop me off. But instead, she's working both days. So I had to ask my father-in-law. And of course, he's like, sure, terrific. And I was like, all right, we got to leave at 5:30 in the morning. He's like, okay. And of course Dennis won't take me. I've already asked him. Sanford's too far. I asked him on Saturday if he would go to a garage sale with me. It was like 20 minutes away. He's like, I can't do that. That was his exact words. I can't do that. I was like, what?
Yeah, Dennis is, he's one kind of a guy.
But
what? To be fair, I had just woken up as well. I was still in bed.
Oh, they can't hear you. And then,
yeah, and you didn't even need to say that, Dennis. Figured out.
What?
Figured that part out.
I saw the last Loki, which is amazing. He can control time travel now, which is cool.
Oh, you got a sad spoiler.
One more episode left.
Spoiler, he can control time travel.
Now you can ruin it. That's the order.
After I was at CrossFit, because this is my last day with the wife and I have to work tonight, I was like, meet me for breakfast. And then we were at breakfast at the Celebration Hotel. And he's like, well, I'm already down here. Dennis, just meet me in the parking lot, because I'm actually parked in his parking lot. So I had every intention of doing it remote, but since I was here. Right. I wish you were here, though, Mike. I'm so sorry.
I know. Maybe next week. So what's next week look like for you, James?
I'll be back Sunday, so I'm only going for, yeah. So anything goes. All right, what about you, Mike?
Well, I think I forget. No, I don't think I forget. I know that I forget how old I am. And I signed myself up to a like charity celebrity basketball game that I was so ill-equipped for. It's not even funny. I was told that it was going to be people that years and years earlier played basketball for UCF. So, and then a bunch of people that are not athletes. That was a bunch of malarkey, because I was, without a doubt, the worst player on the entire court. And I don't think that I am, like, I think that I could hold my own. And I was knocked to the floor four times.
But you don't play basketball ever. So why would you think you could hold your own? You don't play it.
I know I don't play, but I was able to make it through a half marathon, which was in total walking and jogging. It was like 18 miles, and that was only a couple of years ago. So I figured that my stamina could make it. It was a full court game, 30-minute game, and I was gassed after 2 minutes.
Yeah, because you're sprinting. Yeah.
Sprinting down and getting knocked down to the ground. I'm 6'4", and there were guys, the majority of them, by the way, they didn't play basketball years and years earlier. They played basketball years earlier, like 3 years ago they were in college.
Yeah, so they probably played basketball yesterday with their friends.
it was embarrassing. And then they tried to make it up at the end. The guy that put the whole thing on is like, you know what? Because we only ended up losing by one because they were professional, like, great athletes on my team as well. So we lost by one at the end of it. He's like, how about you shoot a half court shot and we'll do something fun with a half court shot. And I'm like, well, I might be able to do that. There's somebody blocking me. I blew out my bicep throwing the ball a half court. Just today. So this was almost a week ago was this game. And just today is the first day that I feel better. It's too much. So I think I hate to say it, guys, because I know you're really rooting for me, but I think I'm going to have to hang up my sneakers.
Retire your jersey.
That's
all right. You've played one game, so now you can become the announcer for all the other games.
So if you had an entry song, what would your entry song be, James and Dennis?
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger. Dennis?
Creep by Radiohead.
Creep by Radiohead. So, my favorite, there's a Space Jam song that I chose as my entry music, right? And what would you do to get the crowd hyped? So you go through the curtain and the smoke and everything else, you go out to the court. What would you do?
A backflip.
A backflip. James?
Burpees.
So I was caught off guard, and the best I could come up with is I pretended like I was wearing a watch, and I just, with my other hand, I tapped my wrist.
Like, what time is it?
like time to lose, except I was talking about myself. That's the best that I could come up with.
And the crowd was cheering, and you did that, and they just stopped and were like, what?
Oh, yeah. I also don't think that they advertised it very well, because it could hold 6,000 people. It was the same arena that you guys went to that concert at 2-3 years ago. And there was maybe 100 people, and it holds 6,000. So it was upsetting. It was upsetting. But I mean, look at it this way. At least less people saw me on the ground trying not to get stepped on.
Right.
So that was my big takeaway. And, you know, stuff with my mother. She started chemo and radiation this week. I sent her a prayer blanket and she's going through that and I'm checking in on her daily. So, you know, I'm grateful to have the steps and also some patience and the tools of the program to get me through, to let me know. I think the main thing is that I'm not alone and that a lot of people, millions and millions of people, have either themselves or, you know, in their family or friend group, somebody with cancer that they're seeing go through this, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's the big things. So Dennis, you came up with this week's topic, which was what again?
Meeting people where they are.
Talking to the phone.
I am.
So, okay. So meeting people where they are, how'd you come up with it? And Mont, you got us started.
I don't know. It was literally like just the first thing that came into my mind when I decided I was going to pick a topic, and I was like, what? And that came into my mind and I was like, that's a good one. You know, and I think what it means to me is, you know, getting rid of all the expectations and stuff and meeting people where they are. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to rephrase that, but you know, when you like are dealing with someone or having a conversation with someone or an interaction of some sort, you know, everyone's like in a different place in their journey or their life. And like some of them, you know, are going to be different educated, different emotional states or different whatever. And a lot of times it's easy to become judgmental and be like, oh, if I can do this, why can't this person do this? Or this is what I would do, so this is what you should do or they should do. And, you know, that's not meeting them where they are. Like, I think, like, approaching it with a level of understanding, a little bit of empathy, you know, we can recognize where people are and come down to their level, you know? It kind of reminds me of the story that I'm trying to remember, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but where you have like two people in the hole, right? And they've dug themselves into a deep hole and they're trying to get out, but they can't get out. So they're like trying to like push each other up and they keep falling, or they keep yelling for someone to give them a ladder. And then finally someone walks up and sees them in the hole. So they jump down in the hole with them. Mm. And the guy's like, well, why are you down here in the hole? Like, you're supposed to get us out of the hole. And he's like, oh, well, I've been here before. I know how to get out. So come on. You know what I'm saying?
You're thinking of the Fox and the Hound is the name of it.
No. Billy Goat Scruff.
Billy Goat. Well,
I don't think it's either of those, but you know, that's kind of like the concept to me. You know, we could sit here and like look down at people in the hole and be like, oh, it's your fault that you're in there, or you're, you know, if you only did this, you wouldn't be in there, or this is how you get out, or whatever. Or we can come down to their level and show them how to get out, you know. And in recovery, that's what we do. You know, people are at the tail end of their like what they can handle, and like with their addiction and their disease, and you know, they don't need someone to chastise them or judge them or like tell them everything that's wrong with them, you know, because the whole world does that, and they do that themselves to themselves. So what they need is someone who has been through it before and knows how to get out. And that's where, you know, we come in, where recovered alcoholics and addicts come in, is because we've been there and we can get down to that level because we know what it feels like and we know how to get out of it, you know. So that was my idea with it. What do you guys think about it?
I'll go.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with Dennis and his topic. I didn't think he had it in him.
Oh my God.
The
condensation.
You know, meeting people where they're at, where they are, it really means, you know, honoring and respecting where they are in their journey in life. And I think Dennis hit it when he said, you know, whatever we want for them, we're going to have to set that aside. Our wants for them are not important when we're meeting people where they are. I think empathy is a very important role, and we have to meet ourselves where we are in our lives journeys. And, you know, it's when you have newcomers and they come in here and you want to take them through the steps, you know, sometimes I just wish I can give them a little teaspoon of what I have as a recovered alcoholic. And like, listen, if you just stick to it, you know, you can get there. There's this gentleman I'm working with now, and he's, you know, he's full of resentment and fear. And I know that if he does a comprehensive fifth step, he can start feeling this true freedom. And I don't push him, you know, I sit back. I was like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, just call me every day. I need you to start reading the book again. And then we're going to read it together. And the next day he doesn't call me. I see him at a meeting and I smell alcohol in his breath. And, you know, meeting people where they are, you're going to be less judgmental. You're going to be empathetic, and you're not going to be assuming anything. And the last thing I was saying before I was cut off by Dennis is that you're not going to take things personally, because people that are in different parts of their journey are going to say things that aren't in line with the way you believe. So if you take it personally, instead of, you know, sitting back and being skeptical and asking questions, it's not going to benefit either one of you. So, I mean, I do this all the time. Don't take it personally. I think that's very important when you're meeting people where they are. And that's what I got.
Awesome. Thank you, James. Yeah. I think in a very literal sense, meeting people where they are, my first sponsor, it was strange at first. But when you start, everything's kind of strange, right? Because it's new and you're learning a whole new vocabulary, and people are talking in a completely different language. You know, before coming to the rooms, I never used the word amends. You know, it was I'm sorry, right? How many I'm sorries or apologies did we make? But how many amends did we make? Actually trying to mend it by definition. I didn't know what it was. My first sponsor taught me all that, and he met me literally where I was. He came to my house and we went through the big book, and page by page allowed me to understand by using notes that he had put in his and saying, here's what I got from that. What did you get from it? Here's what I got from what we just read. And him coming to my house, I know sometimes that could be a scary thing. And, you know, something that I was always told is, you never let sponsees know where you live, because something happens and they're still out there and they're lying, cheating, and stealing. They might rob your house knowing where you live, you know, what you have inside. So at first I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna do this. And it worked. It worked amazingly. And I'm so grateful for this program. But I know that everyone is at a different spot. I have friends that still refuse to go to bars, refuse to be any place around alcohol, that are pissed if anybody at the table orders a drink. And I'm grateful that, hey, those people, if that's the way it works for you, totally fine. But I allow people to go through and start their journey to sobriety, what works for them. You know, I want everybody who is struggling and new to the program to get it like I did. But I know realistically, in all likelihood, we're going to have different hurdles, and sharing those things in a meeting or in fellowship is really important. So that way you can get as many takes on it as possible. You know, I was taught if you have a problem, bring it to your sponsor or the fellowship. And when you have the solution, bring it to a meeting. And I still think that is the best way to do it. But there's other people that when they're at their bottom or what they want to be their bottom, they struggle the first couple weeks and they bring the problem to the group, you know, and maybe some 24 hours will help them find a solution. So that way they can contribute in that to a meeting. But I think time takes time, and however you get it, I hope you get it as quick as possible, you know, so you can shine like Dennis, James, and I over the years. And not every single day is easy. But we're able to, whether it's bring it to a meeting or bring it here in this podcast, that I know has helped at the very least the three of us the past. It's crazy that it's been over 4 years. I mean, we're a week away from doing our, what is it? Our fifth gratitude episode for Thanksgiving.
That is crazy.
Because, right? That's bonkers. Because it was 2020 that we did on Thanksgiving, since it's Thursday, right? 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23 will be the fifth gratitude episode in 2 weeks that we'll be releasing. You know, and if we're not grateful for anything else, it's that we made it to five Thanksgivings doing this podcast. Even more before doing it without a drink or a drug. So imagine getting through family, you know, and family get togethers without alcohol. That's insane.
Easy.
Yeah. amen to that. So that's all I have. Anything to tie it together, Dennis, since this is your topic?
I don't know.
You don't have anything. It sounded good.
I'll give a little story, and this might have to do why I thought about the. James.
With the defective kid. No.
Oh my god. So this might be why I like thought about it, right? So I'm playing on this Minecraft server with a bunch of people that I don't really know, and one of them is like 17, right? And I'm 42. And he's the one that like plays on the server around the same time that I play on the server. And he can be quite annoying sometimes. And one night he like really annoyed me. He like, I don't know, long story short, he took a block from me that trapped me like thousands of blocks away. And I got pissed off. You know, I didn't like yell at him or anything, but I let him know, like, it's not cool, dude. Like, come and fix it, make it right. Like, and he did, but like, I was just so annoyed by the whole situation. And then I had to remember, like, this kid is 17 years old, you know, I'm 42 years old. Like, he's home playing a video game where when I was his age, I was out doing a lot of causing a lot of trouble and stuff.
Yeah, you know.
And I got to remember that, like, you know, and to meet him where he is, you know, understand that he is a kid, and kids can be annoying sometimes, just like I was annoying sometimes, you know, and that's just life, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you were. Well, I think all that's really important to remember, and I'm glad you reminded us, Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back Thursday. Sharing our experience, strength, and hope with you with episode 217. We're the defective characters. It's Allie Reddit. I have all these character defects. Remember to lead with love, and we'll see you next time.
Woohoo!